Blog Talk Radio.
Do not be afraid. The power of the Holy Spirit is with you. Is with you. Amen.
Come now, let us reason together. Question everything. Welcome to Sacerdotus Radio, a show on God, faith, the Catholic Church, science, philosophy, reason and otherworldly issues. Join the host as he tackles today's errors and refutes the fallacies of atheism and misconceptions on God, the Catholic Church, and science. And now here is your host, Sacerdotus.
Hello, welcome to Sacerdotus Radio. Merry Christmas to all. We're in the Christmas season. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the days that follow. We place ourselves in that anticipating moment, the birth of the Savior, the Messiah, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords is born. God kept His promise. Take this time to meditate on the incarnation. God becomes man. God takes on human form, human flesh. This is awesome. God, our creator, becomes our brother. He becomes one of us. It can't get any better than this. If that is not love or dedication, then I don't know what it is. For an all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal, magnificent, supreme being, the absolute singularity to become a mere human man, to save all men and women and children, is both a brain cooker and simple expression of love at the same time. It's a paradox. Christmas Eve is a time to reflect on this and remind ourselves how much God loves us. Yes, family time is nice. Gifts are nice. Santa Claus stories, such as The Night Before Christmas, and Christmas music, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman. All these are nice. They're fun, they're family-orientated, and whatnot. But Jesus is the reason for the season. 2,000 years ago, the world received the best present of all. Let us continue receiving that present daily and open it daily within our hearts and minds. It is no wonder why St. Francis of Assisi loved the Incarnation so much that he was the first to start the crèche tradition or the nativity scene. To picture God as a small baby boy is just amazing. To picture a mere woman named Mary holding God, her creator, it is just amazing to picture, to imagine. Other gods or attempts of men to define God present God as this distant being, this being that really doesn't care much for humanity and just seeks power and whatnot, and cast human cares aside. Human beings have to worship this God, even to the point of sacrificing to these gods. Now, these images of these gods, these designations of gods or deities, are of course from the human experience. We act a certain way, we think a certain way, we have different cultures, and primitive man has tried to define God, via those experiences, those cultures, human behavior, and so forth. But with Christianity is different. God becomes one of us. He becomes a defenseless little baby boy born in a stable, open to all the elements, whether weather or disease or natural disaster or just human malice. And this is something that we need to focus on and meditate upon, and why Christianity is so unique, so special in this regard. Because God becomes one of us. Instead of us trying to reach Him and try to understand Him, He comes to us. He makes it easier. He becomes one of us. Flesh and bone, blood, DNA, everything the human body has, He had. He took upon. Now the church, the Catholic Church, celebrates this with the Midnight Mass. The Midnight Mass is one of the most well-known religious events. It is often televised. I recall watching some of it on different channels. One channel will air the post-mass from the Vatican. Another will air St. Patrick's Cathedral's mass from New York City. Others will air masses from local parishes. Some programming even airs those from our separated brothers and sisters in the Protestant faith. Regardless of those officiating the religious service, all share the same theme. Christ is born unto us. This night is important. We are awaiting the birth of Christ, the Lord, the Savior that was promised to the chosen people, has finally arrived. And the first reading for Midnight Mass we read from Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 9, which recalls how the ancient Israelites were in darkness, lost, bitter, and hopeless. They walked in darkness, in the land of gloom. Then a light shone upon them. A child was born that would change the downward spiral they were going through. From this reading, we move into the responsorial song, which reflects the first reading. Who is this child? We reply, today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord. This is the response to each psalm verse, which is taken from Luke chapter 2, verse 11. This child that was born would change it all for the better. And His name is Christ the Lord, Jesus Christ. Christ is the Messiah, the one who brings us out of the darkness and the land of gloom that the first reading speaks of. The second reading is from Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, and speaks of Christ being the Savior, grace personified, that will teach humanity the right way so that it can remove itself from lawlessness and other vices that keep us from God and from our true, dignified selves. Finally, in the Gospel, we read from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 14, which goes into the detailed account of the birth of Christ, of this Christ child. This child that the first reading promises will come. The Psalms answers who He is, and the second reading tells us what He will do. In the Gospel, we are told that this child didn't come in a chariot of gold. He wasn't born in nobility or wealth or in a royal family like Queen Elizabeth or Prince Harry or William or whatnot. This child was born in a manger where livestock lives. The King of the Jews, the King of the world, the King of Kings was born not in a palace, but where livestock lives. Where it's dirty, it's probably fecal matter, urine, smells bad, smells like the smell of animals, barn animals. Imagine the setting for a moment. Put yourself there on that cold, dark night. There was no modern medicine that we take for granted today. No IVs, no sedatives, no bandages, running water, etc. Instead, there was just a barn. A barn-like structure with hay. Again, possibly with animal waste, unpleasant animal scents, and so forth. Here is where the child was born. The God of gods, the Lord of lords, the Savior of the Jews and of the whole world was born in this setting. We often whine and complain about how life is and how and where we live and how we live. Our desire to be happy stems from a false delusion that in order to be happy, we must have the best. Christ says otherwise in his birth. Each of us was born with nothing but our bodies. We were wet, sticky, and reeking of the scent of our mother's bodily fluids. Yet in this condition, we have worth. We are human beings, made in God's image. This is why Christ was born in the same manner. He was one of us in all things except sin. And we read this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. This is why we must protect human life from conception to natural death, because it has worth. It's dignified. It's not a commodity. It's not a thing. The imagery presented is one of the things that makes the Christian God better than any God's man has formulated in his attempt to describe the one God. Due to ignorance, of course. God became one of us. He did this not to rule over us or demand sacrifices, but to show us love and call us to it. Pope Francis is reminding us of this, especially the clergy. Unfortunately, there are some of the church, in the church, who have adopted clericalism. Clericalism is a psychological phenomenon in the church where an ordained member of the Catholic Church feels that he is superior to others below his rank, so to speak, or the way he sees it. He believes that he is unique from the others solely because he has holy orders. Religious sisters are not immune to this psychological phenomenon as well. They too can present themselves as being superior to the lay people or other people. This way of thinking is an overzealous attempt at presenting altar Christies or the representative capacity of representing the church via habits or cassocks to the lay faithful. Pope Francis is reminding us that this kind of thinking is not of Christ. If Christ was not born to be over us or lord over us as some superior, what gives a priest a right to feel that he is above others just because of his ministry? This is not of Christ and is vanity. Christ was born into poverty. He was born into the smell of his sheep, to use Pope Francis' analogy. We are called to imitate him. Christ is the child who was born unto us. The people lost in the land of gloom and doom. Oh, where am I going, and woe is me? He is the light that shines away. Normally, stars are what light up the dark skies. But when Christ was born, he lighted them. The star pointed to Christ, who is the true light. So we should gather with our families, our friends, our parishioners. Focus on this mystery of the incarnation. At home, we should take the Bible and read the story of the Nativity. Prepare your mind, hearts, and souls for Jesus. Then go to Midnight Mass or the Daytime Mass, depending on if you are able to do so, if you are healthy or not. Obviously, it's not necessary to attend every Mass. There's several Masses, the Midnight Mass, the Mass in the morning, midday, and so forth. But we should be prepared for that and participate in it. And contemplate some more. May Christ continue to be born in our hearts, not just on Midnight Mass or Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but every second of our lives. Amen. Today, in many nations, the solemnity of the Epiphany is celebrated. In America, we celebrated it last Sunday, or this past Sunday, over the weekend. And it's a day that has its origin in the Eastern Rite of the Church, highlighting the revelation of God as a human baby boy. The three kings, or magi, wise men, traveled a long distance to find the child God. God used his own cosmic version of a GPS to guide them with a bright star. This star could have been a comet, Jupiter, Venus, or Saturn. Some believe it may have been a stella nova, which is when the stars illuminate brightly for a brief moment and then return to their normal brightness. It could have been a supernova, a star that exploded and the light reached near the ability for the human mind, human eye to see it. But nevertheless, it occurred, and this guided the wise men to the Christ child. The Magi represents all of the world, with its many races and ethnicities. Each come to bring gifts to the child God, Jesus Christ. The gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gifts often are viewed as symbols of Christ's royalty, divinity, and death. Others view them as faith, hope, and charity, or the theological virtues. They were men of science, showing that science too is subject to God. Faith and reason are not enemies. Science is important alongside with faith. Without the scientific knowledge of the stars that these men possessed, they would not have found the child Jesus. The Magi represents all of humanity, regardless of race, gender, ethnicity, religion, and scientific views. All belong to God and are subject to God. Many Catholic nations, in particular Hispanic ones, celebrate this day as they would Christmas. Children are told to leave some grass or hay under their beds, in their shoes or in a box, so that the wise men can come on their camels and bring them gifts. The story of the Magi, wise men of three kings, is one that has always gotten my attention, even as an atheist. This story of three men coming from afar, far away, guided only by a star to adore a child, is one that captures the imagination. One can literally visualize the night. It is such an event that many cultures treat it like another Christmas day. again, Latino cultures and some Italian cultures often hand out gifts to children, and they even reenact the visit of the wise men. And this is a great way to evangelize children. However, the story is much more deeper than three men who are stopping by to visit a baby. They are bringing with them gifts. As a student of science, this story brings to mind the fact that these men were men of science, and they searched for God in the stars. Today we have the Hubble telescope and all these satellites in space that take amazing high definition images of the universe. These images never fail to wow scientists and amateur astronomers alike. The wise men represent the outsiders, the Gentiles, pagans, and others who are not part of the so-called chosen people, Israel. God calls out to them as well, and they come to him. John chapter 10, verse 16. God wants all to be saved. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. Unfortunately, many times some Catholics promote triumphalism instead of Catholicism. Triumphalism, in the Catholic sense, is the attitude that the Catholic religion is superior to other faiths and or better. While the Catholic Church does contain the fullness of truth and is necessary for salvation, this does not mean that we are the best or should put others down who are not of our faith. The story of the Magi shows that God is not prejudiced. While he did choose a particular people, he is still Father of all. He brings others to the faith by their own means and many times and places. Other faiths are not perfect, but they had the right idea that God does exist and loves us. The Catechism puts it well in paragraph 843. It says, quote, "The Catholic Church recognizes in other religions that search, among shadows and images, for the God who is unknown yet near, since he gives life and breath and all things and wants all men to be saved. Thus, the Church considers all goodness and truth found in these religions as a preparation for the gospel, and given by him who enlightens all men, that they may at length have life." End quote. And the Pope spoke about this a couple years ago. He said, quote, "I would like to tell all those who feel far from God and the Church, and I say this respectfully to those who are afraid or indifferent. The Lord calls you and wants you to be part of his people, and does so with great respect and love. The Lord doesn't proselytize. He gives love, and this love looks for you, waits for you. For you who don't believe or have drifted away, this is the love of God." End quote. The Pope is right. The Lord does not proselytize. He ate and drank with sinners and those who were the pariah of society during his day, and we could read this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. Unfortunately, this behavior is often mistaken as Jesus being too open to all, that he doesn't care about their behavior. This, of course, is not true, for he, while accepting and respecting all, called them to repent, to change their way of life. And we read this in John 8, chapter 11. Or rather, chapter 8, verse 11. God calls out to those who are not in the faith. He has his way of bringing them back. This is why I love Pope Francis. Meet them where they are at, philosophy. I have always believed this, that you have to meet people where they're at. You can't try to force people to come where you're at. You got to go in to their position in life, where they're at in life, and try to understand them from that point of view. And you work with them. You become a pedagogue. You guide them by the hand. We must be patient with those who left the church or were never part of it, atheists, agnostics, and so forth. We must not judge them or treat them as if they are defects in the world. Pope Francis has showed already how, by simply respecting others, brings them to consider God and Catholicism. Many atheists, Protestants, homosexuals, and others are opening up more to the Catholic Church, even to the point of attending Mass because of this. We must meet them where they are at, on the point, on the path to God. Once we meet them there, we can direct them to the right road, so to speak. You can give directions from miles away. You have to be close to the lost party. We must go to them. It is no wonder why the image of the Pope or the Pope's pectoral cross is that of the Good Shepherd that leaves the 99 behind to get the one that wandered off. And we read this in Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 through 14. Regardless of how others pray, have liturgy, or their attitudes on God and faith, we must trust that God will use these to bring them back to Him, just like He used nature, astrology, and science to bring the wise men to the Christ child. Science is not anti-God. Many atheists believe it to be the killer of God. However, this is not so. The more we learn about the cosmos and our old planet, the more we realize that the only logical explanation for their existence is an intelligent creator. This is part of the story of the wise men, is what I like to reflect on. The part of the story that I like to reflect on, being that my area of studies are the sciences. In the story, we read how science leads the wise men to God. This is exactly what happened to me when I was an atheist. I wasn't wooed into Catholicism by preachers, Bibles, catechisms, theological books, EWTN, popes, etc. It was science, specifically the science of physics, that opened my mind to the logos. The popular suggestion, there was a big bang, then processes developed and we came from there, accepted, did not satisfy my young scientific mind. I needed logical answers, not quick assumptions. Saying that we are here due to processes and that's how it is does not cut it for me, so to speak. Like the wise men, I needed to get closer to whom the star pointed to. In my case, to whom particles and forces that make up the universe pointed to. The story of the wise man shows that God is always in control of salvation. We are not the one who saves others. It is God who brings people to Himself. As Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI put so well in his Jesus of Nazareth, the infancy narratives, quote, "The key point is this. The wise men from the East are a new beginning. They represent the journey of humanity toward Christ. They initiate a procession that continues throughout history. Not only do they represent the people who have found the way to Christ, they represent the inner aspiration of the human spirit, the dynamism of religions and human reason toward Him." End quote. And this is from page 97. May we continue to look for the Christ child and stay focused on the star, which is God's grace. Let us take this day to remember that God became man to save us all. Let us offer Him the gifts of faith, hope, and love. Merry Christmas, God bless, and Merry Keep, Happy New Year.